2 Kings chapter 6, as we already indicated, continuing our theme of last Sabbath evening, the truth that God will build his church. And our text once again is the verse 2. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And they answered, go ye. If you recall, last Sabbath evening, we, in looking at this portion of Scripture, we likened the development of the school of the prophet and the need to expand, build another school. We likened it unto the Lord building his church. We noted first of all the difficulty. Sons of the prophets came to realize that they faced a great difficulty. The first verse indicates and tells us the place where they were was too straight, too narrow, too small, too close for them. And so they said, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there. The school of the prophet was expanding. Like the church of Jesus Christ, the school was making progress. Progress in spite of the fact that Israel had given herself over to idolatry, and apostasy was rampant in the nation, yet the Lord was still, as it were, building his church. The schools of the prophets were expanding. God was building his church. And in this day in which we live, where the spirit of Antichrist is already abroad, where there is great apostasy, where there is great idol worship, God is still building his church and will continue to do so until every last one of his chosen is gathered in and brought under the blood. So we noted the progress. And then we considered also the problem, because with the progress came the problem. The place was too straight or too narrow for them. And those are the kind of problems we want in the Lord's work. The problems where a place, a church building, becomes too straight, too narrow, too small. All because of God's hand of blessing upon the work. God's hand of blessing was upon the school of the prophets. And because of that, they faced this problem. The school where they were was too small. So there was the progress and the problem. And then we noted the presence, the place where we dwell with thee. Sons of the prophets said, it's too straight for us. The fact that Elisha, the man of God, dwelt with the sons of the prophets was the reason for their progress, their prosperity, and indeed their problem. And we always need to make sure we have the Lord's presence with us. They had the presence of Elisha, God's man. We must always ensure that we have the man of God with us. We always need to make sure that not only do we have the man of God, we have Christ, the God-man. For where the God-man is present, there will be a going forth. There will be times of refreshing, there will be prosperity, spiritually speaking. So it was. because the sons of the prophets had Elisha dwelling with them. We need to make sure the Lord dwells with us, that we have the presence of Emmanuel, God, with us. That leads us tonight, after considering the difficulty, tonight we want to look at, first of all, the discussion. As we said, we have likened this expansion of the school of the prophets unto the forward march of the Church of Jesus Christ. And that thought and that theme continues. And here the sons of the prophets had a discussion, no doubt amongst themselves, first of all, but then they brought the matter to the ears of Elisha. And they held this discussion, and this discussion begins with a proposal. We see how God builds his church through the local church assembly. There is spiritual growth. There can be numerical growth. Although numerical growth doesn't always guarantee that the Lord is there. So that when we see growth in a local church, we can say, God is building his church. When we see sinners sought and won for the Lord Jesus, well, we can say God is building his church, because every soul then becomes part of the Church of Jesus Christ, becomes part of his body, which is the church. So every soul that is saved is an indication God's building his church. And there'll be no going back, because once a soul is in the body of Christ, that soul will never be removed from the body of Christ. No soul that is born again of the Spirit of God, that is regenerated by the Spirit of God, is saved by grace, will ever be lost. We are part of the body of Christ. If a soul was to be lost out of the body of Christ, that would surely indicate that the body of Christ would become deformed, which it is not, of course. There are no amputations in the body of Christ. There's no cutting off. When the Lord said that he has us in his hands, those of an Arminian persuasion who believe they can be saved in law said, well, we can always slip through his fingers. How foolish. We can't slip through the Lord's fingers. We are the Lord's fingers. We are his hand. We are his arm. We are his body. And so when souls are added to the church is growing. The Lord is building his church, adding to the spiritual building lively stones. And the building goes on, day after day, throughout the world. Men and women and missionaries on the mission field are preaching the gospel and bringing the word to those who have never heard, and souls there are being saved, and the Lord is building his church. There's no doubt about it. For he has said, I will build my church. And when we see hell robbed of souls, we can say, God is building his church. And when the place became too straight for the sons of the prophets, they realized that something needed to be done. So they come with a proposal to Elisha. Look at the appeal. The young man came to Elisha and appealed to him, saying, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan." They would not take one step without consulting the man of God. They would not go forward. They would not go out and start to build another school at Jordan without seeking the permission, the will of Elisha. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Maybe you don't even need to turn to it. You're so familiar with it. But Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And it would have been very easy for the sons of the prophets to have leaned upon their own understanding. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And just as the sons of the prophets came before the man of God who would have the mind of God, and appealed to him and said, "Let us go." And build a place. Because the place where we now are is too straight for us. The words there that we looked at in Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, how many times have we written those words or that text of scripture on a card, coupled with a gift that we have given to a young couple about to be married or after they're married? We've given them a wedding gift and we have thought to ourselves, what verse can we put on the card? And we have thought, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In the words of that text, we're exhorting the young couple, don't lean upon your own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord and the decisions that you have to make and will have to make as a married couple, as husband and wife. We must at all times, in all our ways, acknowledge the Lord. We must never lean upon our own understanding. We must never allow circumstances to determine the mind of God alone. Circumstances can be very deceiving. Circumstances can be very misleading. Turn to Jonah. I made reference to this morning in our Bible class. But in Jonah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, of the minor prophets. Jonah chapter 1. We know the story well. But look at how circumstances developed in Jonah's life. And how circumstances led him away from the Lord and doing the Lord's will. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And wouldn't you know it, circumstances determined there was a ship there. Just so happened that there was a ship there, and we're told that he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah could easily have argued, well, look at this. I don't particularly want to go to Nineveh, but there's a ship going to Tarshish. This must be the Lord's will for me. I can go to Tarshish. There's the ship, just as it were, waiting for me. Circumstances alone led Jonah away from the Lord. And for the sons of the prophets, circumstances indicated to the sons of the prophets the place was too small for them. But they didn't allow the circumstances to determine what they would do. They, first of all, before they did anything, they went and sought the face of Elisha. And likewise with us, if we want to know the mind and the will of God, we need to know it from the Lord's word and not allow circumstances alone. We mentioned this morning when we spoke about Gideon that to know the mind of God, there are three things that must come together and meet, as it were, at a central point. We use the illustration of a minister who receives a call to another church. How is he to know that it's God's will to accept that call? One, there must have a word from the Lord. He must get a word from God. Two, there must be the desire to do the will of God. And three, there must be the circumstances. And all three meet at one point. In other words, God will so order the circumstances in accordance with his word so that we're left in no mistake. This is the way. Walk ye in it. We must have a word from God. And the sons of the prophets wanted a word from Elisha. Likewise, if we desire to see an increase in the work of the Lord here, what must we do? We must seek the face of God, just as the sons of the prophet sought the face of Elisha. If we want to see souls saved, then we must seek the face of the Lord. If it's revival we want, and revival we want to see, we must seek the face of the Lord. If we have a burden for these matters, there's no way around it. There's no way around it. We must seek the face of God as the sons of the prophet sought the face of Elisha. In other words, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to seek the face of God. So you have the appeal. And then there is the advancement. If you note then what the sons of the prophet said, they said, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And they answered, go ye. You notice there that word go is mentioned a number of times. We've already mentioned it there in verse 2. At the beginning of the verse, at the end of the verse. Let us go, Elisha said, go ye. Verse 3. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. Four times the word go is mentioned. That speaks to us of advancement, a going forward, if you like. So this school of the prophets was a school of action. Something was happening. Something was taking place. Here was a school that was on the go. Here was a school that was going forward. Let us go. That's what we want for our church. We want to be a church on the go. We want to be a church that is going forward. And that's what God wants. I do not believe for one moment that God wants any aspect of his work to be at a standstill. I believe the Lord wants his work ever to be on the go, because he said, I will build my church. That infers going forward in the building of the church of Jesus Christ. Not going back, not standing still, but going forward. You remember what happened? When Moses stood before that vast volume of water, and Israel behind him, and Pharaoh and his chariots in pursuit, the Lord had a word for Moses. The word was this: speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. I believe that's the word of the Lord for us. Because God says, I will build my church. That means going forward. So we have this promise. We have these truths. Let us lay hold upon them and seek the face of God and pray, Lord, build thy church. Here on the Toronto Road, add to the spiritual building lively stones. Because every soul that is saved is a sign, is an indication God is building his church. He's adding another soul, another lively stone to the building. That's what the sons of the prophets meant when they said to Elisha, let us go. We can't stay here. We want to go forward. That's what we want to see here, that the Lord's work here in the Toronto Road will go forward. Just as we sang tonight. Then forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will. Though the billows dash and sway, the billows of disappointment, the billows of opposition, the billows that come from the ways of the devil, who wants to try and stop the going forward of the work of Jesus Christ, then forward still 'tis Jehovah's will. Though the billows dash and spray with a conquering tread, we will push ahead. He'll roll the sea away. Praise God, he's still the same. And whatever sea stands in front of us, as we endeavor to go forward, the Lord will roll the sea away. He's still the same. He's still on the throne. Let us then go forward. For the Lord will build his church. Not only do we have the proposal, there's also the participation. Notice, not one man, not one of the sons of the prophets was going to build the new school by himself. For he said to Elisha, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man." Let us go, take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, "Go ye." There's the participation. In other words, the sons of the prophets were all in it together. They, of course, weren't expecting Elisha to do it all. They weren't expecting just a few of the sons of the prophets to do it all. No, they said, "Let every man take a beam. Let us build." I read somewhere that some commentator said that would be a good title for a building program. Take every man a beam. I thought of it, that would be a good title for a building program. Take every man a beam. Every man a beam. That's what the sons of the prophets intended to do. There was participation. Regarding this participation, we see they were steadfast in the work. Take every man a beam. They were going to do the job. They were going to do the job. They were going to see it through. If every man took a beam, if every man participated in this building program, as it were, they would see it through. And they would see the new school built. That reminds me of another building program. If you turn, please, to Nehemiah. Of course, Ezra and Nehemiah were both involved in building programs. Ezra in the building of the temple, Nehemiah in the building of the walls. And we read in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, and verse 4, "Hear, O our God," there's the praying, the going forward, accompanied with prayer. "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." Nehemiah is praying against the enemy, Sanballat and Tobiah and Goshen. They were mocking Nehemiah and his fellow workers. "Oh, look at those men. They're building a wall. Sure, if a fox goes up on that wall, the wall will crumble." Nehemiah prayed against them. But then we read in verse 6, "So built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." The people had a mind to work. It didn't matter what Sanballat and Tobiah and all the rest of them said. It just simply gave Nehemiah and his workers more determination. "We're going to build this wall, no matter what our enemies say about us." As we would say in Ulster, their blood was up. They've been stirred up. "We're going to build this wall no matter what Sanballat and Tobiah and Goshen has to say." They were more determined than ever because the people had a mind to work. They would steadfastly see it through, and while, as we know all about the story, there were discouragements along the way, nevertheless, the wall was built. That's it. and in seeking to build the church under God here. Yeah, there's discouragements and disappointments along the way, but may God give us the same determination. Yes, it's a day of apostasy. We see it more and more and more every day. We see what's going on in the religious world. That ought to make us more determined than ever to go forward. And by God's grace, by God's help, to do the job and see the work go forward. So often when opposition comes, it does give those who are being opposed a more determined spirit. We mentioned last week, in the 60s and 70s, the history of our church as our denomination. We had a number of churches up until that time. We pointed out last week why the Free Church started, came into being. Up until the mid-60s, there were a few churches here and there in the province. But then, a prime minister came to prominent position in Ulster. His name was Terence O'Neill. Terence O'Neill decided he was going to put a halt and put an end to what he said was Paisleyism and bring about the end of the Free Church. And he started off by imprisoning three of our ministers, Dr. Paisley, the Reverend John Wiley, the late Reverend John Wiley, and the Reverend Ivan Foster. That was the worst thing Terence O'Neill did, because it drew the attention of the people in Ulster to the Free Church and its stand and why it was taking such a stand. And people said, that's the sort of church I want to belong to. That's the sort of people I want to be associated with. And whenever those men were in prison, the request came in, we want a free church. We want a free church. And missions were held and souls were saved. And out of those missions, churches were formed. Because you see, the opposition had made the people of God more determined than ever. And they were going to take their stand. And even though that stand meant imprisonment, they were going to do it for the crown rights of King Jesus. And they did it. Because they opposed the assembly of the Irish Presbyterian Church, and they were arrested, even though everything was legal, put in prison. And some of them were imprisoned again later. But that just simply kindled the fire, a fire that spread throughout the province and further afield. And more churches were built, so much so there were no ministers to put into the pulpits. And that's why when students entered the theological hall, you were made a student in charge of a church. I was put in charge of a church in Oma County, Tyrone. I was there for 4.5 years. Such was the growth of the Free Church. Devil always oversteps his mark. You think of the days of the Reformation, the days of that queen called Bloody Mary, who put to death many Protestants and many of the reformers. Did it bring to an end the Reformation? Not at all. The Reformation spread throughout Europe. And the Church of Jesus Christ was built. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail. In other words, the gates of hell shall not stop or hinder the building of my church. As Dr. Paisley used to say, you might as well try and stop the rising of the sun. As we called it, a lollipop stick. Let's try and stop the onward march of the Church of Jesus Christ. And forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will. Though the billows dash and spray, with a conquering tread we'll push ahead, and he'll roll the sea. Isn't it great to know God will build his church? Isn't it good to know there's not a force on earth or in hell that can stop the onward march of the church? They were steadfast in the work, that is, determined, because they knew their labor would not be in vain in the Lord. Then we know that they shared in the work. The word to Elisha was, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan and take thence every man a beam. Every man a beam. Now that means they would cut down trees, and the trees they would cut down, make into beams to build the school. And they would have to carry those beams to the place where the building would be done. In other words, every man had a burden to carry. Every man shared the burden of the beams being carried to the place of building, to the, as we might say, to the construction site. Let us take every man a beam. And when you look at those words, we see here there was harmony. And there was helpfulness. And they all shared the burden. It must always be that way in the work of God, in the church, in the local assembly, and sending missionaries to the mission field. There must be a sharing of the burden. We cannot simply say farewell to a missionary and forget all about them. We need to share the burden with them. No, we can't go to India. No, we can't go to Kenya. No, we can't go to Spain. But we can share the burden at home by praying, Father. Every man a beam. We can take the beam of prayer. And as we take the beam of prayer, we share the burden of the work and laboring together. As Paul often asked the churches to pray for him and labor together with him, the Lord will build his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Would you turn with me, please, to Numbers in chapter 4. In this sharing of the burden and of the work, is aptly illustrated for us in Numbers chapter 4 regarding the sons of Levi and the Levitical priesthood. Because in Leviticus chapter 4, the Lord gives commandments with regard to the worship in the tabernacle in the wilderness, not only the worship but the work involved in the tabernacle, both in its erection and in its transportation. And you'll notice here, we can only just highlight a few verses, because there are many if you read through the chapter. But highlight the verses where we read about men engaging in the service and sharing the burden of the work of the tabernacle and of the transportation of the tabernacle. We read in Numbers 4, verse 19. But thus do unto them that they may live and not die when they approach unto the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint every man one to his service and to his burden. Every man to his service and his burden. They all had to share in the work. You go down to verse 23. Regarding the sons of Gershon. From 30 years old and upward until 50 years old shalt thou number them, all that enter in to perform the service and to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 24, this is the service of the families of the Gershonites to serve and for burdens. Service and burdens. 27, verse 27. At the appointment of Aaron and his son shall be all the service of the sons of the Gershonites and all their burdens and in all their service, and ye shall appoint unto them in charge all their burdens. Next verse talks about service as well, and so on through the chapter. See? Every man had a work to do. Every man shared in the service and in the burden. And again, this is aptly demonstrated for us when we turn to Corinthians in chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And there we read, verse 4. Of course, Paul is rebuking the Corinthians. Verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul. Some of the church were saying, well, I was saved under Paul. Others were saying, well, I was saved under Apollos. For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? That's the wrong way to think about it. Verse 5. For who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Who are we? Paul said, we're only instruments. Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In other words, Paul's saying, Paul and Apollos, we labored together to bring the gospel to you. We're in it together. One of us isn't better than the other. Who are we? We're both ministers of Jesus Christ. Working to the same end. Carrying the same burden for souls. Involved and engaged in the same service. Preaching the word. They labored. Just like Peter and John. Two completely different characters. Completely different characters. But what do we find? In Acts 3, after the day of Pentecost, Peter has preached, 3,000 souls have been saved. And we read that they went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. Paul and John. Or Peter and John. They were together, even though they're completely different personalities. Yet what were they doing? They were laboring together. They were sharing the burden. And they saw the man at the gate beautiful. And together they were used to bring that man to a saving knowledge of Christ. That's what it's all about. And God will build his church. And the Lord will add to his church where the Lord himself is present. Where we all put our shoulder to the carrying of the beam. Where we all share the burden for souls, for the work of God. to see the work go forward. That leads us then to the place. In the discussion with Elisha, it was put to him, let us make us a place there where we may dwell. Verse 2. Now we should remember something here, that there was more than one place where the sons of the prophets were being taught by Elisha. It wasn't just one place. There was the school of the prophets at Bethel, at Gilgal, at Jericho. And now they're wanting to build another school at Jordan. Elisha, evidently in his ministry to the sons of the prophets, went from place to place. Now, what do each of those places represent? What do they speak to us of? Well, they speak to us of places where the word of God was taught to the sons of the prophets. That's what the school was all about. It wasn't a secular school, it was a spiritual school. And each one of those places, each one of those schools was recognized as a place where the Holy Scriptures were opened and the sons of the prophets were taught and instructed. And once again, we go back to one of our original points. This happened, this expansion, this development of the schools happened in the day of apostasy. And here we have another school being opened, our proposal for it to be built. In the day of apostasy. And the word of God was being taught there. Oh, how many have tried to stop the onward march of the Church of Jesus Christ, and they have failed, and every man in the future and every organization will fail, because the Lord says, I will build my church. And the I wills of God are set in stone. You recall the record of the persecuting of the church recorded in Acts 12. For in Acts 12, now about that time, verse 1, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Church that was made up of believers. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. We know what he did with Peter. He put him in prison. But then we have those wonderful words in verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. God answered prayer. He not only brought Peter out of the prison, but he dealt with old Herod as well. Because we read in verse 23, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, that is, smote Herod, because he gave not God the glory. He was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But read on to the next verse. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Hallelujah. See, you can't stop the onward march of God and his church. The word of God grew and multiplied. So it is today. This book, this wonderful book, the Bible, holy oracles of God, has been banned. Sad fact that it's banned in our public schools today. The book is banned. It has been burned. It has been banished. It has been buried. But it's still here. Praise the Lord. And the Word of God is still growing and is still multiplying. Why? Because God says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So those schools were known in that apostate nation. Those schools were known as a place where the Word of God was taught. It's always my prayer that this church will always be known as a place where the Bible is opened, where the pulpit is in its rightful place, where the Word is preached and taught, and where Christ is preached. I trust whatever else people say about us, may they have to confess, well, the Word is preached there. The Bible is taught there. The Bible is believed there. Some churches are known for other things. Some churches are known for its architectural beauty. We don't condemn that. I've been in London and seen St. Paul's Cathedral, a beautiful place. But is the Word preached there? No. Some churches throughout North America, they go under the title mega churches. And they boast of thousands attending. That's what they're known for. The fleet of buses in their car park. But is the Word preached there? Many of them know. We could go on. Many churches are known for many, many different things. This is certainly not a mega church. This humble building has not been recognized for any architectural beauty or glory. That's all right with me. The Covenanters didn't have a church to meet in. They met on the hillsides of Scotland in the heather. But I trust it will always be known, like the schools of the prophets, as a place where the Word of God is taught. I will build church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's still building his church. Let us take heart, take courage, and take comfort from such words. The Lord's on the move, and all we can pray is, Lord, while another's hour calling, do not pass us by. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving Father and most gracious God, we thank Thee that Thou hast said, upon this rock, upon Christ the solid rock, Lord, Thou hast said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. O gracious Lord, may we be in some little way, Lord, part of that building program. Use us, O Lord, to carry the beams. Use us, O Lord, to put the bricks in the wall. Use us, Lord, to go forward. And in going forward, seek to reach the lost for Christ. that, Lord, we might see sinners saved and the church of Jesus Christ being built to the glory of his name. Write this word upon our hearts. May we rejoice in what the Lord has done and what he's able to do and what he will do to the glory of his holy name. I thank thee again for the work here, in the church here, in the congregation here. Lord, lead us forward together and roll the sea away. Be with us, Lord, as we part the one from the other, and take us to our homes in safety. Keep us near to thee throughout this week. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.